is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. I'm here in Valley Stream, Long Island, New York, with Mr. and Mrs. Vincent Doria. Mr. Doria came from Italy in 1923 when he was 21 years old. So that makes you 92 years old at the time of this interview. Okay. Well, I'm very happy to be here, and I look forward to hearing what you remember. Let's start at the beginning by your saying your birth date.
I was born January the 8th, 1902. I was born in Corato, province of Bari, Italy.
Can you spell that?
Italy, Bari, Corato, Corato, C-O-R-A-T-O, province of Bari, Italy. Uh-huh. And then my father and my mother relocate in Lacedonia, province of Avellino, near Naples. Uh-huh. And then from there, I went to school. I frequented the second normal school, which for one more year I would become a teacher. But due to the consequence, I have a brother day in the First World War, which my family suffered very much. And my father sacrificed himself to maintain two of my sisters to become teachers. And then I was coming myself. On the second year, we had a little discussion, family affair, not my family. The girlfriend that I was going out was not compatible for me, or I was not comfortable for our family. So I decided to come in America.
Okay, let's first talk about your life in Italy before you decided to come, just in the beginning.
I arrived here in Italy, from Italy?
When you were still living in Italy, up until the time you decided to come here.
Yes.
When you were growing up, what town were you living in?
In Lacedonia. I moved from Corato when I was 8 months old.
Oh, okay.
And I live in Lacedonia the rest of the 21 years that I moved here.
Okay, so we'll talk about life in Lacedonia first. Do you remember the house you lived in?
Yes, I was living in a beautiful house with a beautiful balcony. My father and my mother had their own room, and I had another room. I was had to divide with my two sisters. You know, because I was a kid and they were younger, older than I am, so they put me there. And
what was your father's name?
Nunzio, N-U-N-Z-I-O.
And your mother's name?
Lucia, L-U-C-I-A, Lucia.
Do you remember your mother's maiden name?
Menine, M-I-N-N. No. M-I-N-I, double N, I.
Okay, and your sister's name?
I had three sisters and one brother. The brother, as I say, died in the First World War, was one of the first to die in that war. In fact, the government gave it to my brother, the Silver Medal of his heroism that it had. Now, the name was Luigi Doria, died at the age of 21. And then I had two sisters, Angela Doria and Maria Rosa Doria, the elder one, Rosa Doria, Angela la seconda, and terza Maria Doria. I had them in this country in 1969. I let her come to this country to visit us.
Okay. What did you have grandparents?
Yes, I had the grandparents. I only remember my father's grandmother and grandfather.
Your father's mother and father?
Yes. Uh-huh. No, my father's mother and father. Yes. My mother's mother, I was younger when I went to see her in Corrado, but I was too young to remember. But on my father's side, I was 12 years old, where I stayed 1 year with them.
Oh, good. Now tell me about them. What were they like? What did they do?
My father believed to give us an education. In Corrado, they had the technical school to be to go from the elementary school to the high school, which in Lacedonia they never had school. And in Corrado, I stayed with my my grandfather and my grandmother. Then.
Why was it that you stayed with them?
Because there was a. I had a cousin there, but they didn't want me to stay with the boys. They wanted me to study so that I could graduate with the technical school that which they prefer.
I see. Tell me, do you remember anything that you did with your grandmother or grandfather? Any experiences or any activities you had?
The experience I can remember that I loved them and they loved me. That's the only thing, because I was 11 years old, 12 years old when I was with them. And that's all. Then I went back to Lacedonia. Lacedonia, my father didn't believe to stay in Lacedonia for high school. They sent me to Sant'Angelo dei Lombardi in Provincia Avellino, near Naples. And there I got my graduation, high school graduation, through that school.
Did you stay at the school?
No, I stayed, yes. I was born in somebody's house. There I stayed there for the whole period of the school, scholastic year.
Uh-huh. And what was school like there?
A very good school in Los Angeles. I've made the first and second there and the third year there.
Did your sisters go to high school too?
My second sister, she graduated with a teacher's diploma from Lacedonia Normal school. That's where I had to go myself. And the other one, that she married the husband, one hard not to get graduation from a teacher school. She married a rich man. Says, our property, our money, don't need you to be a teacher. So she stopped at the second year or the third year before the end, before she graduation. Will be done.
That is Maria.
That's Maria.
Mm-hmm. So did you finish then? Did you finish? No,
I didn't even finish the second year. I didn't even finish my second year that I applied for the passport to come to America.
I see. And okay, but before we leave now, was your family a religious family when you
Very much.
Do you remember any observances, any religious occasions, and how they were observed?
Well, the only religion I can remember when I was confirmed.
And what was that like, the ceremony of it?
The ceremony of the Catholic ceremony, that you know, when the priest will confirm you to be a complete Christian. Uh-huh. That's all.
Uh-huh. And was there celebration at that time?
Well, a little celebration, just a family, a group of six people we were, my father, my mother, my sister, my brother before he died, mm-hmm. and the man that was my godfather on that confirmation.
Uh-huh. Do you remember your godfather?
Oh, yes. I even wrote it from here. I had his picture up to a couple of years ago that I wrote. He never answered me back, so I tore it.
What was his name?
John. I know I remember John, the first name. It was a very short name, but I couldn't remember.
Well, how was he chosen? What was he?
Because he was a salesman. No. He was a salesman. And being from the same province, what I mean, my hometown was Corrado, and he came from another little town nearby, so became friendly with my family. And my father and my mother chose this man to be my sponsor on the, confirmation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what did he have to do as a sponsor?
Well, accept what the Catholic religion asks him to do. And when I finished the ceremony, he presented me a beautiful watch, clock watch. Said this will be my present. But somehow my brother got a hold of the watch. And he was a teacher already. My brother was a teacher, was teaching in Salmone in Abruzzo. Salmone in Abruzzo. He had taught 1 year and then joined the army for 6 months. And the war came, and he was the first one to die on the First World War.
How about food? Do you remember any food that your grandmother or mother made?
My grandmother, the main was the regular spaghetti and meatball and the vegetable, every vegetable. But she liked to have some legume. They call fava. I don't know if you know that the legume. It's a legume about this size here.
Bean.
A bean. Let's say it's a bean.
And what's? How can you spell it?
Fava.
Yeah.
F A V A.
Oh, sure. Okay. And she liked to cook that. How did she cook it?
With the escarole. She cooked with spaghetti. With spaghetti, you let it overcook, and becomes like a mushy. You know, it's very soft that you'll enjoy to eat them.
A puree,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And let's see. What was your father doing for work?
First of all, he was a commercial wine seller. He sold wine to a little town nearby and to the station nearby. The railroad station nearby, and then whoever wanted to buy wine at a wholesale.
So did he buy the wine from the growers?
We used to go buy the wine from other town because our section where we were living would not produce the kind of my father liked. And we used to go to for overnight and come back the third day, the second day or the third day home with the cask of maybe a 1,200 gallon of wine, two casks of a 1,200 gallon of wine in each one.
You went with your father?
Twice I went there. One time my father trusted me, he says, you go by yourself.
Uh-huh. Now, what were you carrying these casks of wine in?
Those big barrel that they have, wooden cask, you know, uh-huh. Not the metal.
But were you using a horse and wagon?
Oh, yes, horse and wagon. We used to leave at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and get there by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, then we start to load up. And when I used to go with my father, before he start to load, he want to see what he was getting. If he liked it, he would load up. If he didn't like, he wouldn't take it. So, and then after we loaded, we started to go home. It's about 4 or 5 at night, in the afternoon. So we had an overnight in another little town, halfway from the wine, where we bought the wine, to where we're going to go home in Lacedonia.
And where would you stay that night?
Well, there is a tavern that will take care of the horse. In fact, there were mules that I used to have. And we used to have a little room, me and my father, nearby. But when 2-3 o'clock in the morning, the guy that used to be the owner of the mule used to knock at the door, we're ready to leave. So we get up and start the road again. And we get home in Lacedonia around 12:30, 1 o'clock, according to where was the dune.
And was there anything else about staying at a tavern? In other words, is there anything else you remember as a little boy from those trips with your father?
Well, that's only twice I went with him. And the one time he trusted me, he says, go ahead, because he knew the guy that was dealing with. The middleman. The middleman says, send them over and don't worry about it. I know what kind of wine you want and that's what I'm going to send to you. And I went there. I was carrying with me a 5,000-6,000 liter. At that time, it was a lot of money. And believe me, it was just like walking from one room to another. Nobody would bother us and nobody would approach us. In fact, even when I was going with my father would, with the money in himself, will climb. We will go with the road that would take about 15, 20 minutes to get there. He would get a shortcut and climb. And he was at that time, I would say about in the 60, he will climb to go to this little town by the name of Calabrito. And wait for us when we got there.
So, was there any other kind of chores or any other ways that you helped your father when you were young?
Well, I used to carry. My father, I will say, was not an alphabet. He knew to read and write. You know the numbers. You know the thing. But sometimes it requires somebody to do the writing. To whom we sell the wine. How much did he buy, if he paid or he didn't pay, it used to depend on one of us that we went to school.
Do you remember any attitudes or values that your father had that he tried to pass on to you?
The value that he believed in education. He will send my first brother to school from Corrado. He graduated from Corrado with a high school diploma. He came to Lacedona, he graduated with honor. In fact, he won a scholarship of 500 liter. At that time, it was a lot of money, by having a contest with another two guys. And he was the first one to have won the contest. My father, as I was saying, he believed in education. He says, whatever I didn't do, I want them to do it. I want them to get there and be in public life with an education.
I see. And your father, did your grandfather also deal with wine, or your father's?
Well, he was a middleman of buying oil, almonds, buy and sell.
Your grandfather.
My grandfather. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. He had those ability to buy and sell.
How about your mother? What kind of a person was she?
A lovely person. She was the mother of two or three guys in Lacedona. They were a little retarded. He would get them and feed them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think there were any values that she had that she tried to pass on to her
children? Well, especially to my daughter, to my sisters. And the value that my mother had, I saw in my sister. My sister Rosa died, she was about 70, 75, something like that. Adelina died right 1 year after she got the teacher's diploma. My sister, the other, that's Adelina. Maria died was married and died how many years was that? Tom?
You said she got married and she lived happily?
Yeah, she lived happily with her husband. She was unfortunate with the family. She would have 8 children, my sister. 1 girl, but 7 boys. And 3 boys died. And so remained with one daughter and 4 boys.
Is there anything else about Italy that when you think back to your childhood, you have in your mind, a picture in your mind? Is there anything when you...
Well, the only thing, when I was younger, I was like one of them here, boys around here, go play ball, play any child game that is in vogue.
Do you remember any of the games that you?
Well, the I don't know how you call. I forgot that.
Soccer,
yes. When I was in high school, mm-hmm. Yes, that I played in high school. You know when you stay like that, the people jump. What they call they jump on the top of you. Well, maybe you know, so you remember. You know the name of that. When you bend down and somebody jump on the top of you.
I know what you mean too. I can't think of it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we were in that game. In fact, one of the stupid guys, instead to jump, he pushed me against the rail of the normal school, and broke my tooth. And I took it out when I came into this country because she didn't like effort.
Tell me about medical care. Do you remember anybody being sick when you were a little boy, and what kind of treatment they got?
I remember only that sometime I very sick, no. But the one time I had a young woman that for some reason, I don't know, I could not understand, she used to press me here so I could move my bowels. Excuse my expression.
Oh.
So,
and
I
did. Like a massage.
No, she was pressing, and I will move my bowels. And then she gave me some kind of, she says, the drugstore is God. I went to the drugstore, I bought whatever she told me to buy, because I don't know the name. And then I felt good. That's my little sickness.
Okay. Well, now, tell me, about what you experienced of the First World War when you were still in Italy.
Well, you want to know the truth? After that, Italy promoted the submarine and asked for a volunteer. And I was 15 years old. I volunteered, but my mother stopped me. And even the government stopped me. Said, no, we don't take where there's only one boy in the family. We want, yes. I did volunteer to go for the submarine. That's the only thing I could remember of that day. Of the war, then this usual story, wins, lose. Sorry that Italy had to retreat and the Austrian people advanced in the Venetian territory. And then they were pushed back with the help of the American people. That's the only thing I could remember. You know, same thing. Young boys, they're not interested like a 21 or 22 years or a businessman that I expect to make a business out of that war. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me then why you decided that you wanted to come to America.
Well, as I told you before, it was a little difference in the family stature, that she maybe thought that I was not good enough for her, the mother, the family, and my family thought that she was not good enough for her,
for
me. And I decided, that's why I applied in June for the passport, before I finish the second year of college, that I will call college, that as we will call here. I applied for a passport and I was called in July. Ooh, I was called in July, yes. And that's why I came in the month of August. I started to prepare all my paper, and I think it was the end of July that I embarked. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just lost the passport,
July,
would you believe?
You say. July.
Yeah. I had the passport up to 2 years ago. I had some Italian books, romance, histories, things. So I went down the cell, I started to discard. I must put that passport in one of those books I was thrown away.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, would it be fair to say that you were leaving because you couldn't marry the girlfriend
that
you
we
had.
Could not get together with the young girl.
So you were leaving thinking you just wanted to get away?
I just got away before, because I was in a mood that sometimes that happens like they happen here. The girls doesn't want to get married. He gets shot. She gets shot. I was in a temper too, so nervous that my big brother had a gun. A little gun, just to secure it. So I took the gun. We are in the library over the house. He had everything, all the books he had. I took the gun and I want to look for her one day, because, you know, busybody people, Mendel with us, they came to tell me that so-and-so went with your girlfriend. I went home, I got the gun, and God wanted that I didn't see them. God wanted that, and I said, so my father and my mother, before something happened, says, get out of there. Mm-hmm. And I came to the United States. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you remember leaving town?
Oh yes, yes, it was a beautiful day. My mother. I remember the words that I used to say. I lost the one, I am going to lose you.
Who took you to the port of embarkation?
Mike. My two brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. But when I left Elijah Donovan, there was the bus that took all the passengers to the station. So my mother says, I lost one, and I'm going to lose the other one. Mm-hmm. And so on. By train to Naples. We went by bus from the Agedonia to the station. We took the train, me and my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law would allow me too. They would not leave me until they put me on a boat.
I see.
We got to Naples. We got one of those tourist home, motel, whatever it was. And he says, well, we'll stay here until you leave. So when I went aboard, they saw me on the top of the Conte Verde.
Conte Verde.
Uh-huh. Conte Verde. He says, well, we'll see you when you come back, my brother-in-law.
Were you thinking you would come to America for a short time and then come back to Italy?
My people in Italy wondered at it. I had the same idea, but when I came here and I saw the life here, I decided that way to apply for a citizen paper, because I happened to be working the National Biscuit, and they only want people with the citizen paper. They got me the first F paper, to apply for the half paper.
About the voyage, what was it like on the Conte Verde?
Was it a beautiful voyage? The Conte Verde, it was the second trip that was making to United States. At that time, there was a dispute who will make in less time from Gibraltar to New York between England and Italy and France. Italy won. Won the what they call the there's a name for it, you know, I can't remember. Maybe you got
it. It was a contest. Oh, you said there was a contest. Broke the record.
Yeah, broke the record.
Uh huh.
Lost England, lost because England was broadcast at that she had the primary of the ocean, because she made from Gibraltar to New York in 4 days. And Condorvid bid England for about 45 minutes or an hour, or maybe a little more. So for so she bid England.
So it was your voyage that was the voyage that broke the record?
Yeah, the voyage that broke the record of the speed from Gibraltar to New York. So we had a wonderful voyage from Naples to up to two days before we reached to the United States. The ocean was nice and calm. But before we reached here, 2 days before, we got a little storm. But it didn't upset me too much. I did have a little upset stomach. I had to throw up a little bit. But after that, we reached Ellis Island.
Were you in the steerage?
I was in the steerage. And I came in a third class.
Uh-huh. And could you describe what that was like?
Well, it was a life like a, where people...
A dormitory?
A big dormitory, yeah, a big dormitory. But we were 12 people in each room. 12 people, 14 people, I don't remember exactly. But I know we were a lot in one little room. A nice little army cot. And that's all what I could say about it. But the voyage was beautiful.
Did you know anyone else traveling on that ship? No.
Uh-huh. I don't know nobody there.
Do you remember your feelings about...
Well, the feeling of traveling or the feeling of leaving Italy?
Leaving Italy, coming
The back. Feeling to leave Italy, yes. I had that feeling that I will come back. Mm-hmm. Because as I said to you, my mother... I still remember the words, so I come back. Mm-hmm. But then, as I said, the life in the United States and the job I got with the National Biscuit. But before I got the National Biscuit, I had a rough job.
Oh, okay. Well, first tell me about when the ship came into the New York Harbor. What do you remember about that?
As I was saying to you before, I think I'm getting a call.
Apologies.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
As we reached the harbor, people start to see the Statue of Liberty, and they started to holler, "The Statue of Liberty, the Statue of Liberty." I was someplace else. I don't remember what I was doing, because I used to play the mandolin, and I used to play it with somebody there with the guitar. And we had a little music among ourselves.
You mean on the ship?
On the ship. I used to play the mandolin in Italy. Mm-hmm. When we heard the Statue of Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, so we run and we saw the Statue of Liberty. I thought, oh, that's the Statue of Liberty. That gave me a little feeling that I arrive, maybe I'll settle down for a while and see what happened here in this country. That's the feeling I got.
Now, did you then go right to Ellis Island when the ship pulled in?
No, the ship docked on 59th Street, I think was at that time. I don't know if it's still the same thing. On 59th Street. And they used to take us with a little boat from the our boat to Ellis Island. And when we got there, they put us in a big room, the whole the Italian people, all in a big room. We were about 400, 500 people there, maybe more. And then all of a sudden, we hear they say, "We're going to stay on a boat." Why? Somebody died. Somebody died. Well, what are we able to do? We don't know. Then they told us that the President of the United States, Harding, die, and the place will be closed for 2 days. So for 2 days we have remain on a boat, like today and tomorrow. Then the next day, then they start to take us and register us as a passenger of the boat.
How did you feel about that when you?
Well, to stay there the 2 days, I didn't like because as good as the food was good. But still, I say, what the devil that we have to stay here just because the president died? I didn't realize that the whole United States goes.
It was mourning. Yes.
Mourning. Mm-hmm. We didn't know this. You know, green on coming out of a different land.
Well, tell me your impression. What did Ellis Island look like, and what was?
Well, we didn't see much at the beginning. We didn't see much at the beginning, but before we. Before they landed us on the Ellis Island, they made us walk around. I said, take a walk because you can't go no place, you can't swim here, the distance is too much. They made us freedom, liberty to do whatever we want to do.
You mean on the boat or on the island?
On the island. Uh-huh. They made us walk for a minute. And then on the third day, we started to register as a passenger.
Do you remember what Ellis Island looked like?
Well, I think I shot the heart, a big hole that we had, and the barricades, we had a lineup, and the inspection that we're having.
What was your inspection like?
Well, they want to know if we had if we were sick, because. Even with the red hide, they will send you back. For some other, maybe if you TB, they will send you back. If you had a disease that you could be trespassing, uh-huh. They will send you back. So they find us that all those they passed were freed of all those things here. And that's the thing, the inspection they did, because they couldn't search my package. I had a little package with another pair of pants and a couple of pair of underwear. And what else?
Do you remember what your little satchel looked like?
Yeah, I remember that because it was small. It was so much small.
You had a blanket.
I had a blanket. My big sister was here in this country in 1911, and she remembers how cold it was here. She says, well, when you go to your aunt, when we go to your aunt or your cousin, wherever you're going to go, it's a blanket that you could cover because in the winter it's very cold.
Oh, that's how
come
you brought a blanket.
Yeah, that's where I brought a blanket. Yeah.
So, did someone meet you?
Yes, a cousin of mine. Two cousins of mine.
And you knew them? You knew those cousins?
Well, one I knew, one because he was in Italy, and then he came to America. So I knew him, and I recognized him, and his brother.
So when did they come and meet you at Ellis Island?
Yes, they met me at Ellis Island, and they vouched for me. Mm-hmm. Because they want to know who's going to take care of you, and so they say, we are taking care of you.
So then where did you go with your cousin?
Well, I went to 27th Street, New York City. But
where they lived?
Yeah, that's where they lived, the two of them. Well, the big brother had an extra room. But I couldn't stay there because they had young girls, 12 or 13 years old, 9 years old, says, you got to do something. So but he made me stay there 1 month. He says, don't worry about it. So I stayed there with him 1 month. Then I find a three-room. Then a friend of his had a three-room for him, just for himself. He says, why don't you take my cousin, until he found something. So he took me in. Then about a year later, or maybe less than that, I found my own three rooms on 28th and 9th Avenue. Oh.
So what did, tell me, when you were first in this country, were there any things about it that struck you?
Well,
very, very
from the island, from across, from
Ellis Island?
Across These are Ellis Island. We saw the big building. That's the impression that we got. The most big impression that got everybody, the tremendous building. So my sister was telling me, you'll see big thing they used to call grattacieli. Grattacieli means sky high.
Skyscraper.
And you'll be impressed for that. And everybody was impressed with it. But then when we landed, we start to see with our own eyes and our own feet. They took me a couple of places to see New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took to Mulberry Street, which they never liked Mulberry Street.
They didn't?
No, they weren't the class of people to stay in Mulberry Street.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anything else about your first experiences
The first experience I had to go shovel. They were fixing Park Avenue. They were fixing Park Avenue, the island of Park Avenue. They used to plant the plants, flowers. So, and the former was a German fellow. And they were digging so they could put
trees
and the topsoil. When he saw me digging and I was shoveling the dirt, I was about 3 feet
down.
Uh-huh. I didn't shovel it. So the former called my friend that introduced me to him. He says, that man is not for this job here. So.
Wait, he said you weren't for the job because why?
He was a student.
I was a student.
He was not a
lady.
You didn't shovel that.
I didn't shovel dirt. So he said to me, he said to my friends, here's the money. It was a $6 change he gave me. And he says, let him look someplace else. It's not for digging. This man is not for digging. And then I went to work in the National Biscuit.
Uh-huh. And how did you get that job?
Through another cousin of mine. Uh-huh. He was working with the National Biscuit, and that's where I got the job.
Uh-huh. And so did you stay there very long?
About 2 years. Then after 2 years, another cousin of mine was, I was making good money, to tell you the truth, $32 a week. At that time was money. Plus I was working a little overtime too, which will come to $38 or $40, up to $42.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing for the National Biscuit Company?
Well, at the beginning, they put me on the wash windows. But the form.
It's ready.
Oh, I met the form that was from a provincia Avellino. In a little town near where I was raised. And he gave me a break. And then I started to work unloading and unloading the train that used to come into the factory to be shipped out of New York. And that's what I done.
Mm-hmm. And so after 2 years, then,
My cousin says, what are you doing there for $32 a week? Come here. He learned to be a tile setter. So at the beginning, he says, the boss will give you $50, $60. And then when you learn the trade, you'll go to $72, $80 a week. Me stupid, thinking that $72 would be more than $32. I left the National Biscuit, and I went to the, but I didn't realize that the tiler works while the sun is up. When it rains, snow, or a family in the same trade, they work and I will be left out. I didn't realize that day, and I was more off of work than to make more than the $72 a week. Or $58 a week, I was. So I said to myself, what did I do? First of all, the National Biscuit had already, in 2 years that I worked there, I had 5 years life guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to me 5 years life warranty, $5,000.
You understand that?
It's
like a policy.
Yeah, a policy. Life insurance. Insurance.
Benefits, yeah. What did you do with your money? That is important.
Well, the money
you may want to know that.
The money I sent to my father and my mother. All my money I sent. I only left a little money so I could pay the rent. I had a cousin of mine, a spinster, here in America. She was here with her father, mother, sister, brother-in-law, the brothers. I had about 14, 15 for the family. And my aunt and my uncle, my aunt was my father's sister. And she took care of me for the first 2-3 weeks. She said, you bring the wash here and eat here Saturday and Sunday, and then you go about your wherever you live, your work. Mm-hmm. So.
How about learning English? How was that for you?
Well, English, I started to go to school. I went to school, I got a Niger diploma, and I went to 1 year, a year and a half at Thomas Jefferson High School.
In Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And the National Biscuit had started the papers for you to become a citizen?
Yeah, they gave me the first F paper. At that time, you got to take it. The first paper, after 2 years, you, in case you decide to go back to Italy, you go back. After 2 years, I got the paper the month of August now. I think it's the 29th of this month. I'll be just 71 years in the United States with my paper. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you became a citizen?
Yes, I just told you, at the Brooklyn Supreme Court.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was that a big event for you to become a citizen?
Well. A big part of it.
Was that an important...
Well, I want to become a citizen, and the National Biscuit says you got to be a citizen. Mm-hmm. See?
Do you remember when you realized you weren't going to go back? But
well, I started to realize that I won't go back. Then, after a few years more, my mother died, and then I said, forget about it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then you... went to work for the tile setter. Did you stay there very long?
Until from the 1926 or 27 until 1930. There was no work in New York, so there was a guy that was taking people from New York to Washington D.C. where they were building. A lot of building in Washington. In fact, I did work there in the Ambassador Hotel and another hotel and then the couple house there. But...
You mean in construction?
In construction, as a tile setter. Oh. As a tile setter. But the guy at the beginning gave us all the benefit. Travel, room and board, and the pay was good, $10 a day. But then he got wise. He took the room and board, he took the food, and he took the travel expense to go and come back. And he reduced from $10 to $8. Because you know why? He got the people from there that they learned to be tile setter, and they hired them for less money than they were paying us. And plus less benefit, that no benefit at all for them that were living there.
Mm-hmm. So when did you meet your wife?
When did I meet you? In 1929. Because in 30 I went to Washington. 1930 I went to Washington to work. And I used to come every week. And I couldn't save no money. The living in Washington was high. I had to pay $20 a week just for the room, $20 a week. The food.
Expensive.
I beg pardon?
It was expensive enough. Yeah.
No, the details are good. This is good.
So the M&Ms, $2 and change. A roll with a piece of M, $2.50. Was a cost of living is was tremendous. So when I used to come here, she says, "Where's the money? Hey, where's the money? I just got the money to come back and go." But still, I brought about $100 back or something. Yeah, something like that.
So then, what did you do?
Oh, then
left.
Then I left to the Tyler Center through a friend of mine. I already got married with my wife. He says, leave it, the Tyler said, come in the dress line, I'll teach you how to press, and then look, whatever you make, you'll make. It's your own. And I did. So I learned how to press, I became a presser. And that's where I stayed so many years, since 1933 until I retired in 1969.
Uh-huh. So you worked for in the garment center?
In the garment center, yeah, mm-hmm. With the local 89.
Mm-hmm. What is your wife's name and maiden name?
The wife's name is Carmela Tosca. Godino.
Okay, and how did you meet?
I met through a Jewish girl, which I was infatuated with her too.
Spread the joy.
A good friend of hers.
We're still good friends. We still communicate. We still go see her.
We saw up to two years ago, the husband died, we went to the burial. No, she was a good girl, and why should we brag at the
friend?
Yeah, good friend.
So you knew this girl?
The Jewish girl. I used to go to my cousin's house, pass the time at night with the brother, and the family. And there was a Jewish people that owned that house that had three girls. And to these three girls, we used to dance at night. The mother was there, the father was there, my cousin upstairs. And then they used to come, the Jewish girl, her, and another one, Rose.
Friends, yeah.
They had all those friends, Jewish friends. So I got a little infatuated with the Jewish girl. But the girl says, I can't get married with you. My father and my mother die if I marry you.
Frustrated. So, he had to wind up with me.
So then I says, maybe we call her Tusk, the second name, uh-huh. But her name is Carmela. So she's all right. So I start to go out with her until she hooked me up.
What did you like about her?
Well, I don't know. Well,
I still don't know.
I don't know myself. An attraction that would maybe that talking from heart to heart, pass from heart to heart.
Which is better? Oh, this is crazy.
We've been living now together since 1933. Now it's 94. It's 61 years.
Purple heart.
Okay, so. When you think back about starting your life in Italy and coming here as a young man, what effect do you think growing up in Italy had on your life here later?
Well, then I got married in 1934. We got married in 33, but in 34 I took my wife to Italy. And she met my father because my mother just died in 31, and my sisters and my brother-in-law, and we stayed there 3 months. She had a good job at that time, and they promised to come when she come back, she'll get the job. She used to work with Charles de Ritz, one of those perfume houses. And I had no job at that time in 1934. The only time that I got the job when I come back from there and I start to learn as a presser.
Did you know you were going to learn the pressing when you
No, I didn't know. I didn't know. I was going to go look for something else, someplace else. But friends says, come with me, you'll learn, it's a good trade. And then the garment industry started to go up. Everybody was making money. Mm-hmm. Everybody was making money at that time. It says it'll be all right for you too. She had a job, and with me, whatever I started to make at the beginning, I was making $40, $50, $60, whatever I could make because I was a beginner. I didn't have the trick. I didn't know the tricks, how to jump, how to skip.
Then did you have children?
Well, we waited 5 years for the first child. Mm-hmm. Because I took them to a lot of doctors to see what was the matter between her and me. And the doctor found out that she was too high and could not get it. And he done the job, a Jewish doctor at the, what was the name of the hospital at the, I think it was in Brooklyn, one of those big hospitals in Brooklyn.
What about the hospital? I didn't hear that.
The one that where the doctor that took you to have it for the first.
Oh, the Lutheran Hospital in Brooklyn.
No, that's where the boy was. But when I took to the doctor to drew the uterus down, the uterus. A female trouble.
Not
well, at the hospital, he done a good job, and after 5 months she got pregnant, and that is after 5 years we got the first boy.
And what are your children's names?
The one is first is Nuncio Anthony Doria, mm-hmm. And the second Peter Angelo, her father, Peter Angelo Doria, and the other one Vincent Lewis. My name and my brother's name, mm-hmm. Daria. Mm-hmm.
And do you have grandchildren?
Yes, I have eight grandchildren. Eight. Mm-hmm. You want the name too?
Four
boys and four girls. The first boy's got two girls and two boys. James Anthony Doria, Anna Marie Doria, Stephen Andrew Doria, Patricia Andrea Doria. That's from the first boy. The second boy has Lisa Maria Doria and John Michael Doria. That's the second boy. The third boy has Vincent Lewis Doria and Kim Edith Doria. Mm-hmm.
What do you feel most proud of having done in your lifetime?
The first thing, proud that we tried, both of us, to give my kids an education, like my father. I like him, he was very much for education, so did I. The first boy became a teacher, and just to retire. The second boy, he went to college in Detroit, and he didn't graduate as a mechanical engineer, but he got a good job as a builder, salesman in the real estate. Then he got wise and he went in business himself and he's doing tremendous. Buy land, build a house, and sell.
That's in Detroit.
He lives in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And Vincent, now he's the superintendent of the builder in New York.
Is there anything else that you would say about starting out in Italy, coming to this country, and living out your life here?
Well, I say that I made my life in New York, especially in Valley Stream, 50 years in Valley Stream. This has been my pleasure to own a house, give them an education for my kids. I'm living here comfortable. There's nothing to worry about. And the other thing is my health is in good health. As an old man, I'm 92 years old. I suffer the arthritis like anybody else suffers. And I can't complain of the rest of the world. United States gave me a life to live and a piece of land to love.
God bless America.
God bless America.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I've been speaking with Vincent Doria. It's August 5th, 1994. Mr. Doria is 92 years old. And this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service, and I'm signing off. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.